Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
I get, and this is just my experience, I could be wrong, that it seems like our older guys who have paved the way, maybe financially, they're here. They're not missing church or anything, right? I feel like a lot of those guys are starting to be the passive ones. Sometimes I get a sense they feel like they're done. So how do you encourage some of these men to, if you're not dead, you're not done type mentality, to not be passive, to mentor discipleship and get that urgency to raise these young men? Does that make sense, that question?
Yeah, it does. And I think there's probably more of them than there are of us that are there. You know, there's more of them that are capable. They don't even recognize it yet. And I think, you know, what I've learned over the years and seeing these table groups or table, you know, tables where men are at, you know, if I can get a young man with an older man, to me, that's a win. And if I can get men in the room at a gathering place, to me, that's a win, because it gives me a chance to introduce other men to other men. You know, I know something about this guy's life and I know where he's at. And I know maybe this brother who's kind of walked through that before can speak into that for him. So I would try to connect them. They may not be at the same table, but they're in the same room. And I think part of what I would say to these older men is, you know, I think they need to recognize they're more important than what they think they are. And I think we built churches without them. I think we were able to, in the, you know, the last couple of decades, build churches without them. And I would say, did we really build a church? We maybe built a following. I don't think we may have built a kingdom impacting church that, you know, that makes a difference in every part of their life. But, you know, just because you come to a service doesn't mean you're really being actively engaged in your faith. So if there's a senior man that's hearing this today, you know, most of our email list is built of men over 60. And so if our list has a list of 60% of them are over 60, to me, that's a gold mine. Only if I could get them to look back to the generation coming behind them, not so much with what we're doing, but really where they are in their context, their city, their church. There's probably a young man that's attending right now that's getting his tail kicked at home and trying to figure out marriage, trying to figure out finances, trying to figure out work, trying to figure out kids. And there's a senior man that's walked all the way through that. But if there's no way to connect those two guys together, they're going to come to the same church. Both of them have tremendous value for one another, but they're not going to get connected if there's no way to do that. So maybe for the senior guy that's out there, you're more important than you think you are. You're valuable. Your influence is critical to the kingdom of God. We're asking you to, you know, re-up or sign up again and get started again. And we could use you. Every church in America needs you. Every family needs you. Every city needs you. Would you help us reach the next generation? And I'll say this and let Justin speak to it, but I found this to be true in the last 12 years of just working with churches. I have found and discovered it's going to take men to reach men. Churches don't reach men. Men reach men. That's what Jesus did. Jesus built the church off of men. And so his ministry to men began in that small group. It expanded because of the church being birthed out of men. And I think that's going to be the same thing for us. I think if we're going to see revival take place in a local church in America, it's going to be because we spend time making men a priority. And then they identify who they are. And then they take on kingdom ministry. And hopefully out of that, the church will burst alive if it's not already. Maybe new churches will be planted because these seasoned men got a hold of who they were before God's eyes. And they decided to follow him.
What do you got anything to say to that, Mr. Justin?
Yeah, man, I love what you said there. I wrote that down. If you're not dead, you're not done. You know, that's worth repeating right there. I think men need to hear that. I also think about what Paul said, you know, in 2 Timothy 4, you know, he said, my time of departure is at hand. Paul was getting to the end of his life, but he was still, you know, going strong. And at that moment, pouring into another young man who was going to continue after him, you know. And then he goes on to say, you know, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And that's what I think about, you know, when it comes to that, because yeah. I really think it's a cultural mindset that needs to change. That's you know, right. We've created a culture of, I work for a certain amount of years And I really work hard so that I can really enjoy a comfortable, convenient life towards the end of my life. And it's not that way in the Bible. You know, it's how scripture paints it, you know, that we have this course that we're going to finish. And if you've ever run a race before, if you've ever been in a 5K or a marathon, I know for me personally, the ones that I've done,
Never done one.
I'm tired. You know, even if it's just a 5K, I'm tired. But when I get to the end, like I'm not slowing down. There's actually this extra gear you can kick into, even though you're physically tired. Like for me, it's like I want my time to be better, and so like I'm actually taking on another gear, even in fatigue, even in weakness. You know, I'm pushing through because I want to finish well. And I think that just has to become the mindset of so many men. It's like I'm not going to coast by in the end. I'm actually going to kick it up a notch. And my ministry may change. It may not be the same thing, but I'm gonna continue pushing forward with even more effort into the end than what I have before. And so I think that mindset has to change for many.
That's good. That's good. Finish well, right? You know, I came from my time when I was in seminary to where Acts 29 Network was launching off. Church planting was at an all-time. Everybody wanted to plant it. It seemed like the buddies I was hanging around, everybody wanted to plant a church because they didn't want an established church with problems, right? And as if there's a church out there that exists that doesn't have issues. I tell you, brothers listening, if you're in the church, it has issues. I'm just telling you, it does. And part of the craze was these young guys are going in. Some of these young guys are going to churches and booting out all the older folks. I can say this with all love and compassion in my heart, if you're that mentality, we're going into church and getting rid of the older to reach the younger, you're not ready to pastor that church. I just hate to tell you that. And I know there's some. I'm 43, and the older I get more stuck in my ways. I like certain things certain ways, and that's just part of that grace. But we're, and this is not a shameless plug, it's just part of the this point. I think we're looking for a full-time children's director or full-time children's pastor here. And I was talking yesterday, I was doing a staff review with our interim director right now, and she's done a great job, but she's burned out. I mean, she is burned out, and she's got the end in mind though. She's done in May, and she's pushing towards that end hard and just can't wait, right? And she made a comment to me that when she's done, she's going to take a break for a while and just kind of disappear in that department. And I just encouraged her. I said, you know what? You know what it takes to do this. You can be a great asset to the new person. And I just told her, I hope I'm a retired pastor one day, and I'm going into a church, and I want to be that pastor's greatest asset, right? And so I encourage you older men especially, and you older women, if you're listening, you can be a great asset to the younger folks as well. So we need to move on here. I know this word momentum, movement, ownership, manhood, energy, need, together, urgency. And we end with a great one here, Keith. The last one, master. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And until you surrender and buy into that, you'll never be the man that God wants you to be. Wrap us up on that point, Keith. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, I just like to say all these other ones don't really matter unless this one is the one that you focus on to begin with. And you know, as a as a man, the one person, the one priority of my life ought to be the Lord Jesus, the Master, the one who's bought me with his own blood. And I really believe that all these other things have a opportunity to come alive in my life if I'm able to do what God's helping me realize and who he is and helping me realize who I am. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And so recognizing that, and is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've been bought with a price, and I'm serving him. He's the one I turn to and lean upon and really live for. Then I have the privilege to do with him, as striving as Paul would say in Colossians, and it's him who works in me mightily. And so I think part of understanding manhood is understanding God, and God is the one who does that first work. And so he's the master of my life. You know, he's bought me with a price. And so how this life looks ought to be determined by him. And so just a couple of things I want to just hit real quick and let you kind of round us out here with some other thoughts. But I think as we look at this, you know, momentum or this movement, it's focus, intensity over time, multiplied by God. That's the key word there, multiplied by God. There's no plan B. So we can't manufacture this. We can't recreate some kind of ministry to men that's going to change the world. Jesus showed us how to do that. So he's the perfect model and example of what that looks like. He's even laid it out in the epistles for us to really get clarity in, and that the older does teach the younger, and the generational impact that can be so impactful that it's transformational for a number of years over periods of years and even generations we may never lay our eyes on. And then I think it's a dangerous thing to second guess deity. When I look at churches' schedules and, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing ministry, and even, you know, some of the direction seems to be going more in a woke direction, it looks like, in some of the churches and what we're trying to do. God's got a plan. And so if we second guess his plan or second guess his deity and the role of that plan, I believe that we're putting ourselves in a place that will never be successful. Mm-hmm. And probably the last thing I'd say is that don't try to manage the sovereignty of God. He knows what is right and what is best. And so if you're in a church today that doesn't have anything happening for men, guess what? You're the first one to acknowledge that, perhaps maybe even see that in your local setting. God may be trying to raise you up. And again, you were made by God. You're made for God. Surrender and submit to his authority and watch what he does with that. Get you some other men that you can pray with and begin to believe God for. We just always like to say, if there's a man in the city that's got hungry for this, or there's a lead dog in the area, we're going to partner with that lead dog. And then we think from that lead dog, we can go reach other men and other churches that have that same kind of passion. But I think, you know, really ultimately it begins with Almighty God. And there's eight of these, and eight's a number of new beginnings. And so as the scripture would say in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And Amen. That's what this is all about.
Yeah. And we're not doing this. I know these two men that are with me today, and we're not taking our time out just to look at each other on Zoom here. I promise you, we're not much to look at anyways. At least I'm not. These other guys maybe, but we're doing this because we want to help you men win. And I can tell you, we're doing this to really help give you a plan. Because one of the things we stated over and over, and just to encourage you on, is that the devil has a better plan to reach men than most churches. And we don't want that to be said about you guys. So I appreciate you men joining us today. Appreciate you, Justin and Keith. Any resources that these men can look out for in the next coming days or weeks, or where they can go to find some more help?
Yeah, I think there's a few that you can do pretty quickly. One is download the Real Momentum app. We have an app out there that you can download. We're in the middle of producing some resources and other content that churches could use. We currently have a series we're working through that we started several years ago called 10 Lessons to Help Men Win. That's available on our website. Website address is realmomentum.men. And then some other things we're doing that we hope to really expose you to, and that's some retreats at Sanctuary Hills, where we're not only trying to help shape the next generation of men, but we believe our Anvil retreat, which comes up in March, maybe our first one, will be probably the most impactful ways that we really help reach and lead men and do ministry together with other men that have a burden. So some of these guys are coming from different states. They're coming to be a part of what does it look like to shape a man? You know, my church may not do it, but how can I make a disciple? How can I lead other men? And we'll be doing some of those things, hopefully in the future as well.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration, and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your Real Momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.